We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back, my friend, to the show that never ends. Never ends.
The Bernstein and Golf Show.
I was gobsmacked yesterday
when
an NFL coach said we gave up a minimum of a 90-second opportunity to drive down the field against a crap-ass defense to drive down the field and win a game on our home field. Instead, we'll let him bleed it out because we believed that we were going to block the kick.
Doesn't matter about your field goal block when you're that close. These are the things. Either you're insulting or you were in on it. Either way, you should be out. I don't ask for coaches to be fired very often. He should not be the Bears head coach today after what I saw yesterday.
Listen, if you didn't know you'd be a scam, you're too dumb to keep this job. If you didn't know you were in on it, either way, you're out.
Dan Bernstein and Jason Goff. Afternoons on The Score.
Rich Campbell.
I did want to have a conversation with you guys about the line of questioning because you guys have been pummeling us all day.
Yes.
Listen, John did not stutter in his reasoning yesterday. He was extremely clear. He obviously talked about it with Jeff Rogers. He is obviously referring to the 27-yard field goal Robbie Gould had blocked by the Eagles in Week 8. And it was a bad excuse. Look, the guy is miscalculating this repeatedly. And it's a dead horse right now. And unfortunately, you know, there are 4 weeks left of this charade, and it's an awkward situation for sure. But to me, you know, whether he's talking about the Benny Cunningham dive to the pylon and challenging that, I mean, John's explanations speak for themselves, and the results are clear.
More action. More excitement. More everything.
Bernstein and Goff, weekdays 1 to 6 on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Tune in every Monday to Built Ford Tough Bears Monday, brought to you by your local Ford stores. It was a wild night last night in Cincinnati that left Ryan Shazier hospitalized with what I've seen as a spinal cord contusion
yeah.
and a spinal cord concussion.
And people have been talking about internal bleeding and some other things as well. Before we get back to that, though, I want to credit Tanny, of course, with his magnificent rejoins at the top of every hour. But Rich Campbell became my girlfriend yesterday. And the reason why is because any man who is listening right now, or any woman who has a girlfriend, who knows...
Does wife count too?
Wife is fine, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Who knows that they've been in the situation where you're like, oh my God, I'm getting talked to like this. And then as soon as that person leaves or you get in your car, you're doing something else, you're like, ah, I should have said this. Or yeah, next time this happens, I'm going to come back with that. Because after the fact, like a segment later, I was like, you know what, Dan? What's the point in asking any question if they covered all in the damn post-game press conference?
I thought I made that clear. My instinct, if somebody says something stupid, is
like,
to try to humiliate them.
Oh, Rich, you became my lady. Like, damn you, Rich. I don't want to date you, Rich Campbell. Like, my God. Like, anybody who's ever been in one of those situations where your lady is just reading you the riot act, and you're like, but... And then you don't spit anything out. And as soon as they leave or as soon as you think you've moved on, you're like, damn it.
Wait a second.
Why didn't I drop this on her? So, yeah. Rich, I see you. And next time we talk, please believe I'm going to have all guns ready for you. Because it was spicy, Campbell, yesterday.
That was good.
Because apparently they were talking amongst themselves about the old Bernstein and Goff show, questioning the way they do their gigs. So, Rich Campbell, you've won the battle, but not the war, my friend.
Look, if there's an agreement to disagree on the way the job should be done, maybe times have changed over these many 20 years since I was covering the Bears. My instinct as a reporter, if a coach said something that dumb, it's just my personal instinct would be, I've got to see why and how you could possibly think something that stupid.
Especially if you bring up the emotion, and it's just after the game, and I haven't watched the tape yet, and all
right.
those other
and then
things.
The next
right,
day,
you cooled off.
And then the next day,
give it
I would
to me, slugger.
Say, hold, let, yeah. I'd say, well, look, let's call it what it is. I would say, Dave, yesterday you said, like, now that you've watched the film, now that you've had time, take us through exactly what happened.
You can slow it down.
And they say, well, we talked about it. with whom did you talk?
Yeah.
How did you talk about it? What was the risk reward? And it's okay. And it's not necessarily.
Well, we're good. Yeah. I mean, it happens.
It's all so.
Bros fight.
A study was published by the Centers for Disease Control last January. Now, from it measured from 2005 to 2014 in high school and college. How many deaths? We're not talking about paralysis, not talking about partial paralysis, not talking about played football for the last time, right. Talking about a single traumatic injury that causes a death.
Because I asked the question, why don't we see more of these?
Let's say, and this is in high school and college, due to spinal and brain injuries. How many on average per year?
See, I know it happens more often than we'd like to think, especially on the high school level. A lot of these kids, you read like twice a month a kid dropping dead during the middle of a football season.
Yeah, but sometimes it's also heat stroke or a lot of that is heart defects.
So how many for the year?
This is specifically
for a year?
Due to spinal and brain injuries because of a collision. So what was the
for a year?
For a year.
For a year. I always go high on these things. 41?
2.8.
What?
2.8. There were a total of 24 in high school and 4 in college.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, 28 total.
Now, that's 28 total deaths, which is, to me sounds like a lot.
Yes.
Of 3 kids a year dying, and this is dying, not just not paralyzed.
See, I was thinking the total number, so okay.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Not saying like this is just the very, very tip of the iceberg.
The
this
end
is
of their life.
The most severe. There is a crunch, and they're dead. Whether they're dead immediately or dead shortly thereafter, it is a collision that results in a death. Mm-hmm. Between 2005 and 2014, there were 24 in high school and 4 in college. The two most affected positions among those were what?
Linebacker and wide receiver.
Linebacker and running back.
Mm.
Linebacker and running back, the two most affected positions.
I thought blindside maybe for some of these wide receivers. Okay.
And what was identified as the single most common characteristic of the collisions that proved fatal?
Give it to me again.
The single most common characteristic of the collisions that proved fatal. What in that impact?
Head to head?
It's more specific.
Frontal lobe to back of the head?
Head first / head down.
Oh, okay.
What was characterized as head first, head down contact identified as the single most common characteristic of fatal collisions over that time.
Hence the heads up thing.
However, they Trojan horsed it. Is they said, well, this will prevent brain injury over time and prevent CTE. No, it might help prevent spinal injury and immediate traumatic, but it does not prevent damage to the brain over time. They're lying about all of that. We know they're lying about that. And this is only the ones that cause death.
Right.
This isn't
not paralysis
or stingers.
Lose a game.
Right. Or I'm never going to be quite right again.
Yeah. Real sports does that show like twice a year with these high school and collegiate athletes who, like you said, are never right again. Or, you know, especially the guys who don't go pro out of college where they stop being taken care of. There's no health care after college. You know, the University of Alabama doesn't take care of you after you're not wearing, you know, the Crimson Tide's colors.
I love to hear national broadcasters try to work their way through these impossible situations where some of us have tried to find that little intellectual island in our brain where we know it's horrible, but we love it, and we know it's fundamentally inhumane. We know we suspend our humanity as we can to enjoy it. It might be all kinds of wrong, but we love it, and it's hard for guys like John Gruden, and it was hard for him last night. Here's a little montage from ESPN's coverage of last night's brutal football game.
Look at this. Look who's back. Montez Perfect drops him for a loss back at the 43-yard line.
A lot of people consider Perfect to be a villain. He's been fined over $300,000. I'd pay season tickets to see this man play.
On second and 5, plenty of time for Dalton. They're short of the first down on the catch by the rookie. Josh Malone, fourth-round pick out of Tennessee. And Ryan Shazier, the leader of this Pittsburgh defense, is not getting up.
Shallow cross. You're going to see Shazier, the middle linebacker, break on the ball and went in there with his head down, and that's never a good thing.
I don't think anybody has seen his legs move at all
since the hit, he immediately grabbed for his middle of his back, was able to roll over onto his back, but his legs really have not moved.
They don't get close to Ben. Here's Jesse James with a first down. And down to the 6-yard line goes the Steeler tight end.
Another huge block by Juju Smith-Schuster. You're going to see Jesse James coming from left to right, but keep an eye on the right side of your screen. 19 with another big block. He is a physical receiver. There is no doubt about that. This time he lays down Darquez Dennard, first and goal.
For the second time tonight, the player is being immobilized, put onto a board. He'll be put onto that cart and taken off the field. It's Vontaze Burfict on that hit from Juju Smith-Schuster. And, John, what I can't believe, on this of all nights, when he and his teammates and everybody else watching this game watched Ryan Shazier get seriously injured, it seemed, that in the front of everybody's mind, to deliver a hit like that that's illegal and then stand over a man who you might have seriously injured, shame on him.
It's sickening. I just don't understand why he hasn't been ejected from the game.
Brown hangs on despite the high hit and the flags flying.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, number 43, defense. That 15-yard penalty will be enforced on the kickoff.
I hate seeing this type of football.
It's an ugly night.
All right, let's talk about it. So the Juju Smith-Schuster hit
I believe it was legal. I believe he should have been assessed a 15-yard unsportsmanlike penalty and not suspended.
You think he should have been tossed from the game for standing over a guy who he knows he hurt? He knew.
What's
I don't know. I don't know what the talk was on the sideline, but Vontaze Burfict and the Pittsburgh Steelers have a history. This is a rookie wide receiver who has heard him chatter probably the entire game and heard, you know, leading up to the week, his position coach is saying, hey, watch 55. 55's out there. He saw 55. He lined 55 up legally and then stood over him after. Like, you know a guy is hurt when you see the other team, after a guy lays out a big hit, where you see the other guy like, come on out here, come on out here, come and get him. This dude stood over Vontaze Burfict. So all the stuff that has probably been put in his head, him being a rookie wide receiver and him being told, hey, watch out for 55. 55's been chattering all game. You line 55 up, and then you see 55 kind of glazed over like, uh-oh.
You know, Schuster's thinking, I got him. I got him.
The animal in Schuster got him in trouble. So what we're asking is, as soon as that whistle is blown,
that's the self-control.
Stop being an animal.
That's the self-control aspect of it. That's the mic drop. It's one of the look. We all watch boxing fans.
Man, I was thinking about it the whole time. Okay, the whole time we were talking about it with the run fits and all those things, I was thinking about a perfect triple or double jab when you're just tattooing a dude over and over and over again.
Or the shot to the love button in a boxing match.
Yeah, go to sleep.
And the way a boxer is trained, where some will stand there and do the whole thing and beat their chest. There is an Andrew Maynard knockout, and somebody found it for me. I talked about this a while ago. Somebody found this. It was former Olympian Andrew Maynard.
You handle your business and just...
And he lands the punch and just spins on his heel like a dancer. The moment he follows through, he just continues into a 180 and walks back to a neutral corner and knowing that that guy is not getting up for a week. So there is something about... And I know... You know how Smith-Schuster... I can't say I know how he was feeling, but you know that Juju Smith-Schuster was thinking, I got him. I guess so... Sure, penalize him for the taunting.
I got you.
That's the rule.
Okay.
But you can't kick him out for taunting, can you? The hit was legal.
It's subjective. You know what? We got to get a referee, Jim D, on the line because it's subjective, right? If you know the temperature of a game and it is increasing throughout the game, you just saw – and the Ryan Shazier hit, injury was on Ryan Shazier. That wasn't somebody coming from behind and catching him in the spine and bending him backwards. That was on Ryan. But the tone has been set for a game that's not only a rivalry game, but a game that has had so much animus over the last few years where guys have fought and all those things. I think that's a game where you referee it a little bit differently. It's kind of like what we used to talk about with Eastern Conference playoff basketball with the Knicks and the Pacers or the Knicks and the Bulls.
Yeah, once you know you put the curbs in a little bit and
this is what we're not going to do today, fellas. And especially in a football game where you can catch anybody blindsided. That's why they put those rules in, because offensive linemen were jogging 10 yards away from a play.
Well, the
and
NBA
getting their ass knocked out.
I get the NBA comp, but you've seen it too, where you'll sort of, it's like the equivalent of warning both benches in a baseball game, where sometimes you will see a referee that knows, a veteran ref, you know, the Monty McCutcheon, the Scotty Foster, these guys will, you know, Danny Crawford, say, knock this crap off. We're not doing this tonight.
Right.
Listen, all of you.
We're
not
play ball.
We're not doing it. It's hard to do with these massive sidelines filled with so many people, and they're all looking at their tablets and they're on their headsets and having their conversations. Right. Unless a referee gets on the microphone and says, knock this crap off, all of you bastards.
It's like Ed talking to the scoreboard operator. 39 seconds and cut this bleep out.
Right.
Yeah, no, I got you.
It's like, you know, turn it around. It's like daddy turning around on the car trip in the back seat,
that's
cracking
enough.
Heads.
That's enough.
Spread out.
You just see that arm come around the headrest.
Bang.
So let's get back to how your guy, John Gruden, was describing the action. Now, you had a problem with the things that I didn't have a problem with. What did you have a problem with in terms of how he was
it's not so
describing
much,
it
It's not so much
you.
Having a problem with it. It's understanding that he's the same guys. And I buy season tickets to watch this. Like, because he's an animal. That's the thing about what he's actually saying.
Right.
We know it.
He entertains me. He pulls something out of me.
I get it. Yeah, yeah. He's touching that reptile part of you that we all have in watching the game. I don't want anybody actually running into me, and I don't want to actually run into anybody. But by proxy, while watching a game, I like that. What part of being a sports fan is. That's really a certain extent.
Do you like it to a certain extent?
Yeah.
Did you enjoy Scott Case and Chuck Cecil taking people's heads off?
As a kid, I kind of did.
I'm just asking.
I grew up with Plank and Fencing.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm telling you.
There's a share of heavy hitters in the mid and late 80s that I enjoyed as well.
Look up Mike Hartenstein, Ron Jaworski.
Yeah, we've seen it before. Yeah.
I mean, that's
who's the Lions quarterback that got cut in half
by
Wilbur? Yeah. I mean, those things.
Well, Wilbur got two guys. Wilbur got Eric Hipple, and then that was the strip sack fumble, and then poor Joe Ferguson on the near sideline.
That's the Joe Ferguson one is the one
that
I'm talking about.
That was good night, sweet prince.
Yeah.
I don't even think it was a penalty.
So,
I don't think it was even a penalty.
How can this conversation?
I'm being 85 Bears.
Yeah, I know you are.
Because you know you can do that to me.
But I'm just asking.
You know you can do that to me.
That's the thing. But
all of a sudden, I'm Northwest Side Joe.
Well, guys that are your age who lived through that era of football and who have been told now that this is the kind of football that you have to watch. For instance, Shep is a little bit younger than me, right? Tanny's a little bit younger than me. Like, so I'm on the lip of when things were just wild, wild west. Guys were out there just slinging them things, and guys were getting hurt, and you just knew that football was just a destruction waiting to happen 3 hours a Sunday. Now you've got guys where the George Iloka hit happened 3 or 4 times a game.
Yeah.
Now I am on the lip of watching that kind of carnage. And we've talked about it. I don't feel like I'm missing anything. So when you have guys who are your age, a little bit older, who have seen that, like our guy that called just now, the shipyard worker, that was like, oh, I can't watch this. I don't feel that way. Maybe it's because I wasn't entrenched in it for all those years. And for the simple reason, I don't want to see. Like, I don't get anything out of an opponent or you know, a rival of the Bears or a guy that – there are a ton of guys in the NFL that I can't stand. And I don't want to see any of them writhing on the field in pain or not be able to move their legs. Maybe just because I'm not wired like that.
This segment brought to you by Discover Card. Discover Card alerts you if they find your social security number on any one of thousands of risky websites. It's free for card members. Sign up online at discover.com/free alerts. Limitations apply. There was so much going on. If you heard Antonio Brown in the background when Juju Smith-Schuster was doing a post-game interview, that's worth a listen, too, because that's a window into how these guys are actually thinking. No matter what you think, no matter what I think,
NFLPA doesn't think so.
You should. That's another story about who's a brotherhood and who's what constitutes
it's
co-workers.
The macro of it now.
Yeah, so I want you to hear that next on The Score.
That's ridiculous. You know, you spend a lot of time on education, on what's legal and what isn't.
Personal foul, unnecessary roughness, number 19. Number 19's first unsportsmanlike foul of the game. The 15-yard penalty, it's second down.
I don't know what you need to do to get ejected from a football game. A penalty like that and then a taunting penalty on top of it.
Put it in somebody's ear. That'll get you kicked out of a bar. movie theater, a library.
Different rules on a football field. So after the game, Juju Smith-Schuster was being interviewed, and the voice you hear in the background...
He sounded just like David Schuster, by the way.
Everybody loved it. The voice in the background is that of fellow wide receiver for the Steelers, Antonio Brown. Listen carefully.
I mean, in a situation like that, you know, when there's so much stuff going on, and I didn't know it was perfect at first. All I saw was, the first Bengals do that was in the tackle lay down. So in my instinct, I got a block from my teammate, and me just playing ball... I hit him. After I seen the replay, I think I should have held back a little bit more and just, from blocking him.
And, I got straight cash on him.
I also believe that that's not me. You know, it's I should never stole him. I apologize for that. And
it's called
with that,
karma.
With that being said,
it's called
I hope
karma.
He gets better.
Did he say I've got straight cash on it?
I don't know if he was talking to maybe an attendant or what. Yeah.
Was that
the same voice, too?
Yes.
It was the same voice?
Yeah. That sounds to me like...
I got straight cash on it.
I didn't even trip. I got straight cash on it.
Straight cash
on
it.
Oh, you know what he is? He's talking about his fine. He's talking about don't
even
trip.
Not a bounty?
Yeah. From what I'm putting together right now, he said don't even trip. I got straight cash on it because they might have been talking about asking Juju Smith about a fine.
Because my thought was... I told him if he did that, I got the hookup for him because
he'd be the dumbest man in America if he said that into a microphone.
Because there's history here. Remember that Burfict hit Brown at the end of that wild card game, gave him the concussion, and then claimed he wasn't sorry about it. Burfict even said he faked it. I feel like he looked at me, the ball tipped off his hands, he put his head towards my area. I tried to fade off him at the last second. He initially tried to make contact because he knew he could get the flag. And the way he went down, I was like, I don't know, man. So he accused him of faking his own concussion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
Vontaze is that guy.
Like, if you get too deep into it, I guess any sport, but it's just gross, man. Like, you're already out there trying to inflict as much punishment as possible.
That's the truth. And that's what Olin Krutz tweeted also. So after an update, we got to get past this idea of intent.
Okay.
I always laugh when we start talking about legislating NFL intent or trying to get in the heads of guys. Every hit, every block, every tackle, everything that you see.
Punishment or harm? Which one is it meant to inflict?
You are trying.
Or are they the same?
You are trying to move another human being.
Job it is to not be moved.
There is the fine line of intent. Is so debatable, is so academic. Of course there is intent. And of course there's an understanding of the possibility of injury. But you are trying to move as forcefully into another person, literally as humanly possible.
With armor on. See, that's the other thing.
That's intent.
The armor gives you a little bit more courage. Not saying that these guys aren't courageous. I think that these are the toughest dudes in sports by far. By far. Go out there on an NFL football field without a guaranteed contract. We're going to talk contracts before the show is out, by the way, because the numbers for the highest paid players in each one of the sports is out. And every time I ask myself, hockey, what are you doing?
Like, come on,
hockey, get your life together, hockey. Like, are they not reaching out to the people who like hockey enough? I mean, you look at some of these numbers, the highest paid players in hockey are like, they're like paupers compared to the people that play, football and basketball. But we'll get into that.
Bad middle relievers.
Yeah, we'll get into
that. They're end of bench NBA regulars.
Like Jonathan Toews is scrambling his brain in corners of NHL rinks, across this country, and JJ Redick's making $22 million. Like
25.
I think it's 23.
Okay.
I think it's 23. Okay. He's making $7 million a year to not shoot jump shots and be hurt for the 76ers.
Jonathan Toews makes the same money as Matthew Dellavedova.
Damn.
Right?
Ladies and gentlemen, raise your kids to be basketball players. This from Jason Goff.
I was just saying, I can't do that.
No, you can. Kidding me? There needs to be a Jose Altuve of basketball.
He loves basketball. But
you've never talked to me about him playing basketball.
He loves basketball.
Baseball and hockey. That's the only thing I've ever heard you talk about.
He played organizedly only 3 years just for the Boys and Girls Club team.
Right, running up and down in packs.
He's a chucker.
Well, that's my guy.
And he's a good chucker.
You can't win if you don't shoot.
All he does is just fan out to the line and call for the ball and shoot it every time.
So he's Denzel Bernstein.
More self-aware.
Without the boar's face.
Michael in Milwaukee's on the score. Hi, Michael.
Hey, how you guys doing?
All right.
Once again, thank you for being the voices of reason. On a side note, got to hear football genius Rush Limbaugh today talking about how the game last night was old school football before it got legislated to what it is now. Anyways, my question for you is, just that was obviously ridiculous. Can you institute a rule similar to baseball where when there's one, after one intentional headshot, which is just so obvious, you send a warning to either side that the next one is going to result in an immediate ejection?
The next one by, well.
But what if the guy is only out there for one? Like, what if the guy has this?
Doesn't matter, but it goes to the interpretation of the officiating staff that was pretty obvious.
I agree with that. I agree.
I don't know if there's a downside there. I'm trying to think of an unintended consequence to that.
To launching a guy. Or giving him one more chance at a headshot?
You send some bum out there, you know, take your shot, get kicked out, and that's that. We'll pay your fine kind of thing.
See, but with the NFL, like, it's more apparent now when guys are doing extra because of all the stuff they've cut out. Do you think they've done a better job at making the game safe, whether we like it or not?
Not really. I mean, ask me in 30 years. When some of
the
I'm
talking about in the game. I'm not talking about these post-game careers. I'm talking about what we watch today. Do you think it's a safer game with the size and speed being ratcheted up and the hit zone and all the other things that have been implemented? Do you think it's a safer game than what you watch in the late 80s and early 90s?
I don't know.
Because
even if the dirty there, I think there are fewer dirty hits.
That's what I'm asking.
However, I don't know if it's made the game safer. I would agree that
the average
collision now,
shoulder pads are smaller.
Sure, the average collision now might be more damaging than it used to be. They're moving so much faster, and they're not wearing bookshelves. By the way, I think it's no longer too soon.
What's up?
I probably shouldn't, but
what do you mean?
Okay, we talked about.
Are you gonna make fun of a dead guy?
Not making fun of him.
The fact that I have to ask my coworker that when he says I probably shouldn't, the first thing that pops in my head is Dan going to make fun of a dead guy?
I'm going to show you a picture and let me get your... Because it's the first thing I thought. I know you thought it too, but we couldn't say anything because it would have been...
We need to get past the I can't say anything part of that.
Right.
I'm due for a suspension.
Also, our guy, referee Jim D,
yeah.
We've got his official thoughts on whether or not on the Juju Smith-Schuster.
Sounds good.
How it should have been adjudicated. We'll give you that in a moment on the score.
Mully and Handley, mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
8 first downs. 8 total against the San Francisco 49ers on your home field. 8 against... Arguably,
what was then a one-win team.
Yeah, Mark Trestman had a much better winning percentage than this guy.
Wow. I mean, lowest in Bears history. He's past Abe Gibron.
All right, Dan's going to take me to a place where I like to go, even if I don't admit it.
This segment brought to you by Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer. Braving the holiday crowds at parties and malls can also mean you're braving germs.
Germs.
Be sure to have the Exergen Temporal Scanner at home to make sure you avoided getting a cold or the flu. We spent some time eulogizing former Bear John Theory, who passed away of a massive heart attack at age 46. And as we discussed, very nice, quiet guy. I enjoyed being around him and always found that he was...
Alcorn State, right?
Yes, and it's Alcorn State that sent out a tweet with his official picture. You talk about this before, about what has really changed in football.
Oh, no.
Okay, you can look up.
Oh, my God.
Now.
He's wearing a space suit.
Look at this dude's shoulder pads. They are the largest shoulder pads I have ever seen.
All right, we're not making fun
life.
Of a dead guy, but did you retweet this?
No.
Right now.
You do it.
All right, where is it?
It's just at Alcorn State.
They won't allow you to follow them? What's wrong with you?
We just found it, and we'll do it from the show account.
Okay.
That is...
I have to tell you, sadly.
And they're going to wonder why they're getting so many Chicago tweets in their mentions as soon as this goes up.
The day after he passed away, I know I'm a horrible human being, but my first thought was, holy crap, those shoulder pads.
Yeah, like, that doesn't make you.
Look at that.
That's not the reason why you're a horrible human being, by the way. I am retweeting this. I'm going to have to do this softly, though, right? Like, you know, God bless the dead, but damn, them some big shoulder pads. There it is. God
well, somebody's bless gonna, somebody's,
the dead.
Somebody's going to take it to a cause of death being over pads or something,
oh,
right?
Oh, gee, like
right.
Overgold.
That's how I said it. Cause of death, giant shoulder pads. Oh, another one. It's becoming epidemic. So our guy, referee Jim D., was reached by. Sorry, I'm not sorry. I'm Demi Lovato. All of a sudden, that's a great song.
Yes, it is.
That's a really good
Dude,
pop
she's,
song.
She's,
I know.
She's a talented
I know.
Girl.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
So this is that Juju Smith-Schuster could have been ejected for the hit if the officials feel it is egregious. And he agrees with me here. The taunting is an unsportsmanlike foul and a 15-yard penalty, and no ejection unless it's the player's second unsportsmanlike foul. So there had to be a judgment where they believed that particular hit constituted an egregious hit. Okay, judgment call. I guess agree to disagree right. on that, but my calibration.
Over a guy that's trying.
No,
to
I agree with that.
Where he's at.
I agree with that.
I think that's what happened. I think that's what happened. That's why they
standing over obviously concussed right. villain is still bad.
Dude, he's reaching and grabbing for his leg while he's out of it. Like whatever's in him, that fighting spirit that's in Vontaze Burfict from the days of, you know, Pop Warner football and through Arizona State to
monster.
Now. Oh, dude, he was that guy would have been a top 64 pick in terms of the top two rounds of the draft, and didn't he go undrafted because he was too busy doing all his foolishness at Arizona State?
Oh yeah, do you remember that scouting report
yes.
in Pro Football
like,
Weekly?
Don't draft this guy; he will kill someone
right.
in the city.
Horrible yeah, person yeah, will ruin your yeah, locker room, will yes, ruin your team.
Yes.
Don't draft him. Has some skills, yeah. but don't draft him.
Baker now, Mayfield.
The after the top of the hour, Joe Sheehan is going to talk about Shohei Ohtani right. and how, what teams are doing to woo him and what he might actually be as a major leaguer. I want you to hear what Jake Arrieta told this show over the summer, right before the draft. We asked the then Cubs pitcher about the idea, the very idea, as good a hitter as Jake Arrieta is, and as great an athlete as he was, the idea of a genuine two-way player in modern MLB. And if you missed it, it's some insightful stuff from Jake ahead of Joe Sheehan, who's coming up just after 3 on the score.
How do you think you do against Kershaw?
Just thinking about facing him makes me really happy and excited. I could just tell he's such a great pitcher through the TV screen.
How would you pitch to Harper?
I would have to go with my best pitch, which is the fastball. I want to see how my best pitch fares against one of the best hitters.
Throwing his dancing fastball, Ohtani strikes out batters at a higher rate than Kershaw. Unfurling his violent yet somehow elegant swing, he hits home runs at a higher rate than Harper. There are days Ohtani makes baseball look almost laughably easy.
That's from 60 Minutes. Shohei Ohtani has 7 teams still in the mix for his services, including the Cubs.
I feel like you guys are already raining on my show, big show parade. Like everybody, like it went from being like, oh, I can't wait to see this, to now people breaking it down like, ah, he's not going to be that good.
Well,
he's not a good value. I'm like, it's a hell of a
oh, no,
value.
It's a,
if it's a third,
you
a
can't
third,
debate the value.
A guy was a at best people think a rotational guy, middle
yeah.
of the rotation,
yeah.
third starter kind of guy. I mean, $3.5 million. You pay $20 million for the fee. You pay $23.5 million
sure.
for a starting pitcher.
Six
right now.
6 years of control.
Yeah, and I want to see him hit. You know why? Because I'm here for the circus. Damn it!
And I have spoken with someone who has seen some of the booklet, the actual booklet that the Cubs put together as part of their presentation.
Is it better than the Bulls LeBron presentation?
The Tracy McGrady presentation.
Oh, that was.
And it was described beautiful. To me as impressive. And I'm told
the Cubs Ohtani.
The Cubs yeah. Ohtani presentation mm-hmm. is impressive. And apparently, the reason the Cubs remain relevant is because of Ohtani's advisor's awareness of Theo's reputation, not to mention Joe Maddon's ability to mix and match pieces and move guys around. So
yeah,
it's all
makes sense.
It all helps keep the Cubs viable here. Earlier this summer, it was right before the draft, and we always enjoyed our conversations throughout the year with both Chris Bryant and Jake Arrieta. And we asked Jake Arrieta about the idea, how real is this what I think is the fantasy of a full-time MLB two-way player. Could we have a two-way player, somebody who could actually function not just as a carnival sideshow, but somebody who really could be an everyday level hitter who could also be in any game a high leverage reliever, say? Is that possible, or is it just asking too much of what one human being can be good at?
It's not possible. I would love it to be possible. I really would. You know, I've seen some amazing two-way players in college. I played against probably one of the best college two-way players ever in Joe Savory, who went to Rice. And he just, once you climb the ranks, you get into the minor leagues, and you see just how difficult it is, and how many games you play, how often you're on the road, how much you travel, and trying to carry the workload of a position player and a pitcher, and whether that's a starting pitcher or a reliever. I mean, you're asking so much of your body. A young guy who's 20, 22 might be able to do it briefly, but I don't think there's any way that somebody's able to sustain that over the course of a career. I think eventually guys are just going to have to choose, you know, which one they're best at, what they're most comfortable with, and honestly, what the organization wants from them. So while I would love to say it is possible, I just really don't think it is.
All right, so the Japanese Babe Ruth, Shohei Ohtani, he's off the list then for the Texas Rangers, huh?
Well, I mean, if he can show the Major League Baseball that he's capable of doing something like that in that capacity in this league, then we'll see. I mean, I could be proven wrong, but I think most people agree with me that it just requires just too much of your body on a daily basis, and it would really limit the recovery time of that player, and with that, all the variables incorporated in the season, I just think it's not doable.
Jake Arrieta, former Cubs starter, with a very reasonable take that, for me, comes down to the fact Major League Baseball is unbelievably difficult. That when you say this guy did this in college or he did this in Japan, the Japanese league's a very high level, but it's not MLB. And it's just unbelievably difficult to do any single thing well in MLB, let alone be some unicorn.
Who's the second most accomplished Japanese player in Major League Baseball history?
After Ichiro?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nomo had a long career.
Are we going back to Matsui?
Be position player?
No, just period. It would be Matsui
probably,
with the World Series MVP?
Hideki Matsui, right?
Matsuzaka was good for, what, 2 years?
The pitchers mostly get their value in the first 2 years.
Sure.
I think that's
Hideki Arabu.
Well, we could go look up the WAR. I mean,
yeah, true. I was just trying to, because obviously Ichiro is the answer. I'm thinking about the we don't think about culture as much as we do with other sports, where guys come from Europe and have to acclimate to different cities and different ways of life in the NBA or other sports. So maybe if that's out of it, why is it so hard for Japanese players to come to this country and star? Is it because of how late they come? Is it because of the training? Like, what happens there outside of Ichiro, who is a Hall of Famer?
Different usage patterns, there's all kinds of reasons. Okay. Well, we're going to discuss that.
Yeah.
Joe Sheehan will have his take on that and more, talk about the possible Giancarlo Stanton trade and all kinds of things going on. He's next after an update, no break. You got the score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.